Oh, hello there. It's the titular Matt Stewart letting you know that I'm going to be in Sydney, Australia, and then Brisbane, Australia, doing short runs of my show, Dryer Dryer. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May. Hey, but also, you might not know this, I'm doing a live Who Knew It with Matt Stewart in Sydney on the 13th of May and in Brisbane on the 14th of May. Holy moly, am I looking forward to these shows. Please get tickets for all of these now. If you use the discount code DOGOON, that might work. I'm not sure, but worth a try. Really hope to see you there. Sydney especially, please come along. Brisbane also, though you're buying tickets earlier, better. Sydney lift, please. All right, I'll see you soon now. On with the show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest this week is host of the Do Go On podcast. It's Jess Perkins.
Woo!
Our second contestant is also the host of the Do Go On podcast. It's Dave Warnicki.
Woo! Great to be here. Hello.
How does he get these guests?
I went through your managers. It took a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told my
They drove a hard bargain.
I say, do not reply to that guy.
Yeah.
That's why I ended up having to barge down their door.
Yeah. They said, no one's home. And you said, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
And this is an office.
I'm looking at you, Eric.
Eric.
Fucking Eric. We've got to fire Eric.
Yeah, Eric, if you're listening, you're fired.
But anyway, right. Yeah, great to be here. Matt, was it?
That's
Eric
right.
Didn't pass on your name. He's a terrible manager.
All right. Well, you've both been on the show before.
Mm-hmm. I believe I'm the carryover champion.
Yeah, sure.
I say that every time.
Is that just a fun little bit you do?
That's a fun little thing.
Actually, I haven't done it since I was last been on with you, Jess, but I do it every time I'm on with you. So.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to crush you.
For new listeners, the way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and they have to guess which one is correct. Sounds complicated, but it's not. You'll understand once we get playing. Are we ready to go?
Yepers.
Very ready.
Here is question number one. This one comes from listener Bella from Sydney. And the question is, what is the Dave rule?
The Dave rule.
What D-A-V-E. Is the Dave rule? D-A-V-E. What is the Dave rule? All right. Now, while they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house and I've put in two of my own fake answers, often with the help of the question writer for each question, and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round. Seems fair, but the probability actually favours me. The house. And the house always wins. Though if you've listened to previous episodes, you'll know this is not always the case. Our questions come from our great Patreon supporters. If you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, which is linked in the show notes.
I just want to say no matter what the rule is, I'm going to have to start instigating it in my life.
Oh, I see.
The Dave rule.
Okay.
I haven't heard of it before. But no matter what it is.
You'd think you would have.
I'm committing. Yeah, no one's ever enforced the Dave rule on me.
All right. The answers are in. First question. What is the Dave rule?
Yep.
Here are your five options. No one called Dave is allowed in any pub in Wales before 1 p.m. It's an inside joke in the Silicon Valley where if a work team includes as many women as it does people named Dave, it has achieved acceptable gender balance. It's a rule that refers to the interchangeability of names based on the example of the formal David being able to turn into the casual Dave. A Dave must never lose his virginity or
okay.
Don't allow vegans equality.
Oh.
Don't allow vegans equality. The Dave rule.
The Dave rule. Okay.
Okay. There was one in there I just did not understand, the name
Interchangeability one?
Yeah, can you read that one again?
A rule that refers to the interchangeability of names based on the example of the formal David being able to turn into the casual Dave.
Right, but it doesn't explain what the rule is.
Well, I think it's saying...
Yes, it does.
It's saying if an...
Jessica becomes Jess, Jesse.
Oh, the, yeah.
Matthew
Jessica's
becomes
a name that fits the Dave rule.
Yep.
But I don't know. What's a name that doesn't?
Zoe.
Yeah, Zoe doesn't fit the Dave rule.
Zave.
Zave doesn't fit the Dave rule.
No.
It does because
Zoe does
oh.
fit the Dave rule.
Oh.
Zave. Am I getting it yet?
No. I think you're getting further away somehow. Give us those one more time.
No one.
Maybe not that one because we'll just lose Dave again.
No one called David is allowed in any pub in Wales before one.
Yep.
The inside joke in the Silicon Valley where if there are
gender
as many
equality.
Women as Dave's, it's gender balance.
Yep.
The interchangeability of names. Dave must never lose his virginity or don't allow vegans equality.
I'm going to go the Silicon Valley one.
Silicon Valley football.
Yeah, it's a pretty funny in-joke, especially because it's usually still pretty dude heavy.
Okay. Sometimes if you don't understand something, you've got to look that in the eye
uh-huh.
and say, I'm going to tame you.
I don't understand you.
I don't understand you.
But I want to.
But I want
but
to.
But I want to. I'm not here to hurt you. Lock it in. The Dave rule is the whatever that one was.
I'm not here to hurt you. Option three, I'm not here to hurt you. You're patting it on the nose.
Hey. Shh. Oh. It's okay.
God, I hope I'm right.
If the Silicon Valley one is right, then on this podcast we have met the Dave rule.
Oh my goodness. But
wow.
Your name, but
you guys must feel so good about yourselves.
Well done, everyone. But we've also, if my one's right, achieved that. Because
oh,
Matthew
true.
Is the Matt.
Yes.
Jessica is the. Am I understanding now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You both apply to the Dave rule.
We
yeah,
do apply
I'd say
to the Dave rule.
I would think most names do probably.
Well, certainly in Australian culture, we'll shorten anything. Yeah. Even when I said Zoe, I was like, we'd call her Zoe.
Zoe.
Oh, that's right.
But, you know.
The casual Zoe.
Yeah, but I think it's probably names that are very commonly used and commonly shortened.
Right.
You know, it's a well-known shortening of it.
All right, well.
Charles to Charlie, you know.
Yes, okay. And Charlie being the informal.
Yes.
And longer.
That's right. Oh, yeah. So no, same amount of letters.
But in terms of syllable count, sorry.
Charlie. Charles. That's how I say Charles.
Charles.
Ah, so. Charles. King Charles.
All right, let's go through who wrote the answers.
It might surprise you.
Don't allow vegans equality. That was written by the house.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Of course the house has that opinion. Very oppressive, this house.
Yeah, this house
hey,
sucks.
It's the Dave rule.
Damn it.
Hey.
Well, it's not though, is it?
Ah.
It's made up by the oppressive
exactly.
house.
Exactly.
That's true. A Dave must never lose his virginity. That was written by Jess. Not a rule, more of a guideline.
Yeah.
More of a way of life.
Yeah. Perfectly acceptable one.
No one called Dave is allowed in any pub in Wales before 1 p.m. That was written by Dave.
That was me.
That's a good one. Except it's not.
a rule gotcha. That refers to the interchangeability of names. That was written by the house.
Oh, that's
Bella.
Why it didn't make any sense.
Sucked in house.
Bella wrote it. I actually reworded it and I probably made it sound more confusing, unfortunately.
Damn it.
Meaning the correct answer is the Silicon Valley in-joke that Jess got. So 1 point to Jess, 1 point to the host.
Well done. Well, 1 point for us for achieving the Dave rule here
no,
today.
No, just a point for me and 1 point for the house. There's no point for us.
Damn,
you don't get a point.
What about the Dave? Point for the Dave.
There's no point for the Dave.
No point for you, but 1 point for the Dave.
Get a quick score check. Dave's on zero. The Dave is on one.
All right, I'll allow that.
Okay, damn.
We'll allow the Dave to be a separate category.
Now there's three people beating me.
Yeah.
Now, all right, I'm putting the Dave in. So you're giving the Dave 1 point.
The Dave gets a point, okay. Yes.
All right, we're up to question number two. It is from Rachel Johnson from Melbourne. The question is, and it's a world record.
Oh,
I love them.
And I'm always nervous about these because Dave is a world record fanatic.
Yeah,
oh, I love
loves
it.
Him.
So he's every chance to already know it, but Well, let's find out. The question is, what world record did Olympic gold medalist Sally Pearson set in September 2013? It's not an Olympic event. So it's something outside of her normal
Sally
skills.
Pearson had a world record? That's yes. pretty cool. My family claimed to be related to Sally Pearson. Well, the Pearson side of my family, to be fair.
You claim it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we are, but when she was, you know.
You're not buying it.
At the height of the Olympics, we were like, yeah, one of ours. Yep. Cousin Sal.
Gone, Piero.
We also obviously claim Kieran Perkins, so.
So while they're writing their answers, here's some more information on the Dave Rule. According to Wiki, the Dave Rule is an inside joke in Silicon Valley startup culture that posits that if a work team includes as many women as it does people named Dave, it has achieved acceptable gender balance. The joke is in reference to Silicon Valley's infamous gender gap. The concept was in use in the Carnegie Mellon School of Computer Science under the name Dave-to-girl ratio or Dave-to-female ratio at least as early as 1999. It was first documented in Silicon Valley, which employs many Carnegie Mellon SCS alumni, under the name Dave Rule in 2014 by Guardian newspaper correspondent Rory Carroll in an article about a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against dating application startup Tinder by a female former executive. Yeah, so it's a bit of a fun in-joke with a grim underbelly.
Yeah, it felt like it was a grim in-joke, you know, like a, oh, well, we've got as many women as we do Dave, so we've done it, you know. It felt a bit crook, but also a little bit funny, but, you know, depends on the tone, doesn't it? It
funny because like, it's true.
Yeah, self-aware.
Good first step.
Yeah, that's right, isn't
Saying
it?
Saying you've got a problem. Too many Daves.
Yeah.
Oh, Dave isn't the problem here.
Oh, hang on. I think I've misunderstood.
The Dave is.
No, I think Dave is the problem.
All right. Your answers are in. So here's question number two. What world record did Olympic gold medalist Sally Pearson set in September 2013? She collated the largest collection of toy emus. Most hot dogs eaten while completing a 100-meter hurdle event. Longest distance skied on grass while performing a handstand. She ran the fastest time in a 100-meter egg and spoon race. Or a record number of strangers guessed her name was Sally based on her vibe.
I think I missed the hurdles one.
Most hot dogs eaten while completing a 100-meter hurdle event. Because Sally Pearson she won gold in the hurdles.
I believe so. I think she was a hurdler.
I mean, your own family.
Yeah.
If you don't know your own flesh and blood.
I can picture her hurdling.
Yeah.
And so therefore.
I can picture her yodeling.
Hmm.
I can picture her with hot dog.
But I've got a great imagination.
You do. A vivid one.
If you don't mind, can we have them one more time, please?
Collating the largest collection of toy emus. Hot dogs eaten while hurdling, longest distance skiing on grass while handstanding, fastest time in the 100-meter egg and spoon race, or record number of strangers guessing her name was Sally based on her vibe.
Oof.
I went first last time, so you can go first this time,
okay.
Dave.
We know she's got speed.
That's right.
We know she likes eggs.
Yes. We know that to be true.
We know that to be true. I'm thinking the egg and spoon race one.
Great.
I could see that being a... something that's adjudicated on. A couple of the other ones, I'm like, are they adjudicating that?
Yeah.
Is this adjudicatable?
Yeah. Can you adjudicate this? So, I mean, all of them technically you could if you went out of your way and got Guinness there.
Yeah. They love a wacky record.
They do, especially with someone who's got a bit of fame about them.
Yeah.
You know, Sally Pearson at the time, she's hip, she's hot, she's happening. But I'm still going to go the egg and spoon race.
No worries. What about you, Jess?
I was going to go egg and spoon race as well.
Which, of course, you can.
I know, but, you know, am I here to have fun or am I here to win? I'm not sure.
I think
I haven't decided
I think both
yet.
Can be the same.
At the moment, you're doing neither.
Okay. I've got one more point than you do, champ.
See? She's not having fun.
I'm going to go egg and spoon race.
Awesome. All right. So answers are locked
in. But honestly,
in.
Sick of your attitude.
Oh, were you tempted by any of the other ones? For example, one that I may have written?
It was interesting. Two of them are quite similar. The most hot dogs eaten while competing the 100-meter hurdle.
Yeah.
And the fastest with the egg and spoon. I guess one's not eating the egg.
So you're just saying.
If I understand egg and spoon race, that's you're eating an egg with a spoon.
But we
right.
do running. Know she liked eggs.
We do know.
We know that for
what
sure.
What you've got to remember is Sally Pearson loves eggs.
Loves eggs. Unlike her second cousin, Jess Perkins.
Hates eggs.
Hates eggs.
And unlike Dave, who hates sex.
Who were you telling you were related to?
Just anybody who asked, really. No, it was mostly my...
are you related to...
It was my uncle, whose last name is Pearson.
Yeah.
Would say, oh, yes, I'm related to Sally Pearson.
I'll occasionally do that, call Rod Stewart Uncle Rod.
Yeah.
Oh, Uncle Rod.
Yeah. Cousin Sal. Good.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. She collated the largest collection of toy emus. That was written by Rachel / the house. Mm. The most hot dogs eaten while competing at the 100-meter hurdle event. That was Jess.
I'd forgotten she was a hurdler, so well done. Mm.
Record number of strangers guessed her name based on her vibe. That was the house.
That's very good. That was very good.
She does look like a Sally.
The longest distance skied on grass whilst performing a handstand. That was Dave. Meaning the correct answer is she ran the fastest time in the 100-meter egg and spoon race.
Yes.
1 point for Dave. 1 point for Jess. No points for the house. Look, no points for the Dave.
No points for the Dave.
Yeah, Dave, the hands on the skis?
That's what I was imagining.
Skiing handstand. That's pretty fun.
And I thought that someone who's very physically fit probably got some great dexterity balance.
Downhill on the grass.
I thought, and you wouldn't have to go that far for it to be a record. What, 40 meters or something? And you go, yeah, great.
I think that was...
Jess, were you tempted at all by my answer? Or
I kind of actually was, to be honest.
It does sound like the kind of silly bullshit that might be in the Guinness book.
They love silly bullshit.
All right. So, sorry, Jess, I don't understand what the Dave is. Does the Dave get a point there or no point?
I think the Dave the gets Dave a point gets there. A point.
Nice. Go to the Dave.
All right. The scores are Dave on 1 point, the house on 1 point, Jess on 2 points, and also on 2 points, the Dave.
Yeah, the
I don't
Dave.
Understand what's going on. But
he lost control early.
So we're up to question number 3. And this one comes from two people wrote this same question.
No.
Which has happened a few times, but it's often happened after I've used the question and then someone else will come in with the same question, which is interesting.
Do people hit you up and say, hey, I wrote that?
Not as yet, but there'd be a few people being like, come on.
Yeah, if that happens.
What the fuck?
Come on.
What the fuck?
Guys, come on.
Oh, my God, what the fuck?
Yelling on the bus.
That's me listening to Matt's podcast, but for another reason.
What is
wrong with him?
What? The Dave, what does it mean?
It's not fair. It doesn't exist.
This one was written by both Jim Bates from Sackett's Harbour in New York.
Sackett's.
Jim Bates comes up with a lot of good questions. I feel like I'm calling his name out every second week. And Adam King from Brooklyn in New York.
What's up, King?
And the question is, what is the name of the background character played by George Lucas in Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith? And I think, Dave, is this your favourite Star Wars?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us anything else about it?
I love anything based around revenge.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And finally, the Sith Rises.
Is this the one where, or is the one you like, the one with Darth Maul? Is that this one or is that a different one?
That is episode one. Oh, that's the Phantom one. Menace.
Sorry, apologize.
Which I did love as a kid.
Because you had the hat.
Had a Darth Maul hat given to me for my 9th birthday. And then we quickly went on a holiday to the Gold Coast with the family and I wore that hat everywhere on the Gold Coast representing my favorite movie.
That's so good.
Star Wars episode one, The Phantom Menace.
And I in part put this question in because this week's Do Go On episode that the three of us host is about the Star Wars holiday special. It's our annual Christmas episode. So if you like Star Wars or even if you don't, I think it's a bit of fun either way. I tell the story of, one of the most critically panned films of all time. And it's a pretty wild ride.
It was good fun. But the question here is, George Lucas, what's his background character called?
Yeah, so he plays this very small character in the background, but it's got a name. What is the name of that character? While you're writing your answers.
Yeah, no.
Oh, sorry?
No, that's fine. What movie is it?
It is... Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Yes, okay.
Now, while you're writing your answers, I will let the audience know a bit more about Sally Pearson's record. According to NBC Sports, Pearson, who was 27 at the time and the 2008 Olympic champion, smashed the world record for the 100-meter egg and spoon run. She conquered a green path laid outside a Holiday Inn in downtown Sydney where traffic had to be stopped. She completed the run in 16.59 seconds. Pearson easily broke the previous mark of 19.39 seconds set by New Yorker Ashrita Furman. Furman owns more than 100 world records, including the world record for the most world records.
Oh, yes. We've come across Ashrita's fantastic work before. I'm a big fan.
some sort of a hero to you?
Yes, I look up to him in every way.
Pearson said after the run, I'm pretty stoked to take it. I never thought my first world record would be in the egg and spoon. Guinness World Record spokesman Chris Sheedy told the Daily Telegraph, I think that one will stand for a while.
Yeah, Asreeta's really got to run pretty quick to catch up. And he's 68 years old now.
All right. The answers are in.
Is yours good, Dave?
Yeah, I've seen the movie. It's my favorite, so I know the answer.
So, but then you have to put in a convincing fake answer.
I have misunderstood the game.
So, it's too late.
Here is question number 3. What was the name of the character that George Lucas portrayed in Star Wars Revenge of the Sith? Jengot Castle? Vending Machine Repairman? Omar de Grasse?
Omar de Grasse.
Baron Papanoida? Or Reg Grundos?
They're Baron, all fantastic.
Baron Papanoida. Where does he get his ideas? I assume he named himself. I'll do this role. Yeah. He went through the full casting process.
Can we have him again?
Jengot Castle, Vending Machine Repairman, Omar de Grasse, Baron Papanoida, Reg Grundos.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah.
Do you?
Did you hear the same answer twice? That's the one.
Oh, I see.
Because I knew it. I don't know. But you get to go first, I believe.
Okay. What was the first one?
Jengot Castle.
I think they're all pretty good. It's probably not Vending Machine.
That would be so funny if it was.
It's so good. But I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but, you know, I've seen bits and pieces and I don't remember seeing vending machines. So it's probably
So you don't think they need repairing?
Exactly. There'd be no need for a vending repair.
Well, if you look closely, he's confused. he's already got his arms up going,
what do I fix?
He's wandering around the Death Star looking for a vending machine.
Sorry, can you tell me, was there a canteen around here? I'm assuming there would be a vending machine.
Yeah,
there.
Maybe the cantina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the Baron one.
Baron Papanoida for Bob.
I'm also going to go Baron Papanoida because it's my favourite name I've ever heard.
It's really fun.
Sometimes I get names stuck in my head. And I think this is going to be one of them. Baron Papanoida.
That's very good.
It's fantastic.
How do you spell Noida?
You know, you're sure it's not?
N-O-I-D-A.
Omar de Grasse.
Omar de Grasse. That's good. Even the first one was good. Jengot Seigel.
Jengot Castle, I think.
Castle. That is good.
I should say, I don't know how to pronounce, if I'm pronouncing any of these correctly.
Although it also could be the vending machine repair.
It could be vending machine repair. I don't know.
It could be. He's right.
Pronounce it wrong, idiot.
Okay, let's go through who wrote the answers. Reg Grundos. That was the house. Outside of Australia, it won't make much sense, but it's sort of rhyming slang for underwear. Or Reg Grundy's.
Reg Grundy.
He was a TV producer and somehow his name became synonymous with jocks. I guess because Grundy's rhymes with undies.
But jocks is also going to be confusing for some folks. Okay.
Omar de Grasse, that was Bob. Jess Bob Perkins.
Honestly, that is convincing.
I panicked.
Vending machine repair man, that was Dave.
No.
That was me. That was me. So can you believe it's not real?
I can't.
So it's either Jengot Castle or Baron Papanoida, which I think probably most people would have assumed at first that it's one of those two. Jengot Castle was written by Jim / the house. The correct answer is Baron Papanoida.
Baron Papanoida.
Papanoida.
That is so good. Papanoida. Can you change your name? Can I change my name?
yeah, absolutely you can. That's one of the Dave rules.
Dave Papanoida.
So 1 point to Jesse, 1 point to Dave, none to the house, any to the Dave here. I don't know if the Dave did much there.
Yeah, no, not this round. Sorry, the Dave.
Oh, okay. I'd advocate for a point for him, but.
Why?
I just thought he did a lot.
Who is he? What's happening?
But, like, do you not want everybody to be kind of tied? You want to lose. Okay, 2 points to the Dave.
Wow. Okay, I was only saying one.
Maybe no, split two the now. One. No, because you fought it.
Split the difference 1.5.
No, you're being a butthead. It's two to the Dave.
Two to the Dave. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm confused, and listeners at home, don't worry about this nonsense. Just forget that the Dave's
It's hard to forget such a charismatic presence.
So a quick score update. We've got the house on one. We've got Dave on two. We've got Jess on three. But having the lead, it's the Dave on four.
What a guy.
Go the He's Dave.
Like a real fan favorite, the people's champion, the Dave.
New listeners are going to be baffled. I mean, old listeners
are
going to
be confused. Why are they starting with this episode if they're a new listener?
And why are we the last one in the feed?
We're on the first. If you come and listen to us, for us, and I assume you are, go listen to the first
I think this is easier for new listeners because they go, oh, I guess this is a weird thing to do. Old listeners, yeah, 15 true. In, they've never mentioned the Dave before.
Mm. People might be coming because they've seen the show featured on Apple Podcasts mm-hmm. under the shows they loved of 2022.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
What an achievement.
Just wanted to plug.
That's genuinely a great thing.
Oh, yeah, I was stoked.
So impressed about that. I
got an email about it. I'm like,
you got an email.
Holy moly.
I'd frame that email.
Was it from Steve Jobs?
It was from Jobsy, yeah.
Wow.
Incredible.
God, he's hands on.
He was so ahead of his time. He was sending emails before he even passed.
Amazing
stuff. Dave.
In the future.
You can't tell someone bad news like that so casually.
Okay.
Jobsy.
Before he passed by.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. While he was moving. He was writing on an iPod.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
He was on an iPod Nano sending emails.
Incredible.
God, he's good.
Question number four is up next. This one comes from Kirk Reitmeier from Calgary in Alberta, Canada. And the question is, apart from playing Montgomery Scott on Star Trek, what was James Doohan known for? Apart from playing Montgomery Scott on Star Trek, what was James
Doohan
known for?
What was Doohan.
What was he doing?
James Doohan.
James, yeah.
And what's his character, Montgomery Scott?
Montgomery Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty.
Ah.
On the original TV show. So back in the olden days.
James Doohan. How do you spell his last name?
D-O-O-H-A-N. That is not on.
No, I'm not. I was just, I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Mick doing.
Sure.
Does that help?
No, I'd still be saying, how do you spell that? Have you already written your answer?
Yeah.
You're a freak.
I know what he did. What he did.
Dave, you're supposed to come up with convincing fake answers.
Yeah, okay. I specify that very clearly. Fake answers.
Baron Papanoida.
Baron, Dave, let me tell you a little bit more about
I want to hear so much more about this.
Adam King wrote, who was one of the question writers, I always remember the name Baron Papanoida because it sounds like George named himself after three pizza brand mascots, the Red Baron, Papa John, and the Noid.
What's the Noid?
The Noid, I think, was a big, maybe Domino's. It was never made it over here, but yeah, it's in the Do Go On hat as a suggested topic. Yeah, Domino's Pizza created in the 80s. But wow. Apparently there's a wild story there. Anyway, Jim Bates, the other question writer, wrote that Jengot Kessel, he wrote that option, translates to tiny beard in Indonesian.
No, that's great. That was very convincing.
Yeah, it worked out perfectly. But yeah, I used to, for a little while, I was big on how George Lucas's beard isn't big enough.
You talked about that quite a while.
It doesn't. It's too small. It's a tiny beard. Anyway, according to Screen Rant, Baron Papanoida's debut was in Revenge of the Sith, but was easy to miss.
Easy to miss.
Oh, on Coruscant.
What did you call me?
Just before Anakin and Palpatine have their conversation about Darth Plagueis the Wise.
I remember this scene.
The Baron can be seen in the hallway of the Opera House accompanied by his daughter, Senator Chi Ikwe, who was appropriately played by Katie Lucas, one of George Lucas's daughters. There was originally conflicting information regarding their species before an episode of The Clone Wars confirmed it to be Pantoran. What do you think? Too small?
Yeah.
Jess is looking at the beard.
Yeah,
it's a tiny beard.
It's too small.
And what about you? Look up his character, Baron Papanoida. He looks pretty funny.
The Baron's first name, how funny is this? Initially, his first name, the character's first name was Not Lewiski.
Not Lewiski Papanoida.
Yeah. But that has since been changed by Disney since they've taken over, apparently.
Disney can just change names of insignificant characters?
The character was later revived for a role in the animated series The Clone Wars. Oh. He was like a more key character in one episode. So an animated version of George Lucas is a bit of fun.
That is cool. Baron Papanoida.
All right. The answers are in. So here is question number five. Apart from playing Montgomery Scott on Star Trek, what was James Doohan known for? Here are your five options. Inventing the four pen. He served as a pilot during World War II, including the D-Day invasion of Normandy, inventing a water filter that fit into any drinking receptacle. He was a motivational speaker with the catchphrase, "Don't think Han, do Han."
Oh.
Or he invented jorts.
So just confirm, is that Gene Shorts?
Gene Shorts, yes, that's right. And again, what a contribution. Can we have those again?
Inventing the four pen,
mm-hmm.
serving in World War II, including D-Day, inventing a water filter that fit into any drinking receptacle, was a motivational speaker with the catchphrase, "Don't think Han, do Han," or he invented jorts.
I don't think it's – no, you're going first, so I'm not going to reason
– You don't think what?
I'm not going to reason through it with you because we are mortal enemies.
Gosh, you got competitive. Okay.
Well, I'm not having fun.
I'm thinking okay, – yeah.
may as well come that's here to
for,
win.
That's for sure. So beam me up, Scotty. What's this, an early 60s show?
Yeah,
I'm trying to get so. An age of this guy. And was he like – is he too old for, to be a World War II pilot? Too young, rather? 15 plus – I suppose he could be late 30s. He was a pilot right at the end. Okay. Jean shorts. When do they come into fashion?
I'd say more recently.
Not the 50s.
Star Trek, it looks like it was in the 60s.
Mm.
But, you know, was Scotty an old man or?
Yeah, I've seen the recent movies, but I haven't seen any of the TV shows.
I don't really know either, but I'm guessing he's late 30s. Okay. And then don't think Han, do Han.
Yeah, I think I mispronounced. Don't think Han, do Han, because his name's Doan. Right? James Doohan.
I get it now.
You didn't get it the whole time.
I did not get it before. Okay. I was like, whose hand? You said, don't think hand, do hand. I was like, whose hand? I was like, okay. Sorry, I'm a little bit slower than usual on this episode. the fuck is hand? This motivation only works for a very specific person. And hand's not that common a name. And then the other two are inventions. A pen or a water filter?
Pen, water filter, or jorts.
Or jorts.
Hmm.
You're doing a funny little thing with your mouth there.
Yeah, he's doing thinking lips.
That's weird. That's weird and creepy, isn't it?
Sorry, I recently had a very sore and infected lip and it's come good and now I'm just enjoying it.
Enjoy those lips, baby.
I'm going to say.
We sure are.
It's much nicer to look at than last week. I'm going to say the World War II pilot.
World War II pilot.
Yeah,
Dave.
A bit of a mad dog.
What about you, Bopper?
Doing. I was also going to say World War II pilot.
So you two are in sync at the moment.
Stop copying me.
I won't.
And what's the Dave putting it?
The Dave.
He keeps getting points without doing anything.
Yeah. Exactly, without do hand.
The Dave says jorts.
Jorts, yeah. I reckon the Dave would lock in jorts.
Jorts, okay. And the new rule for the Dave, he loses a point if he's wrong. All right.
What?
What?
I'm sorry.
Okay, but he gets 2 points if he's wrong as well. So he goes up by one.
All right, let's go through the answers. He was a motivational speaker with the catchphrase, "Don't think and do and." That was the house.
No shit.
You came up with that? You couldn't even say it?
I know. As I read it out, I'm like, that's not right.
Don't think and do hand.
Like, that sounds what? Wrong. Doing. Sam's doing, not do hand. Damn it.
Doohan.
Otherwise, would you have guessed it if I said it right?
Yeah. No. Motivational speaker, I was like, oh, yes, I can see that. And then the catchphrase, I was like, nope.
Inventing a water filter that fit into any drinking receptacle. That was Jess.
Oh, that's very believable.
Yeah, I know.
Well done.
Inventing the four pen, was Dave.
I reckon Jess would have gone for that if you didn't fuck it up and say 4-point pen. What are you talking about? That's.
Oh, yeah,
four. Yeah, what pen. Is a 4-point? Why did I say 4-point pen?
It's ballpoint.
What would pen. I don't call it a 4-pen. What do you call it?
Yeah, it's a 4-pen. The blue, green, black,
I know
and red.
What it is,
yeah.
But I don't call it a 4-pen.
Is it a
call?
Yeah,
that's called a 4-pen.
I'm aware of what it is.
No, but that's what it's called.
I'm saying I don't call it a 4-pen.
It didn't sound right to me as well. That's why my brain wanted to add
but
a word.
Do we call them 4-colour pens or something?
Yeah.
The Dave would like to issue an apology on my behalf.
Why?
Bic sometimes also call it the 4-colour. Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, I reckon the 4-colour pen.
I mean, I literally said 4-colour pen.
Yeah.
And now you're right saying, is that what you're thinking of? It's what I said earlier.
He invented jorts. That was also written by the house, meaning the correct answer is he served as a pilot during World War II.
Yes,
you
well
two are
done.
On fire. So well, negative two for the Dave.
Negative two?
1 point for Jess, 1 point for Dave. I can't be beaten by the Dave. He doesn't exist.
Oh, that's what this is about. You don't want to lose no, to the Dave.
The Dave, I'm manufacturing the Dave ends on zero.
I just wanted this Dave to lose to the Dave.
Oh, okay. That's pretty fun, actually. But unfortunately, the Dave's doing...
So the house is spiteful, is it? Okay. This spiteful house. Okay. Dave, now it's you and I against the house, okay?
Oh, no.
And what about the Dave? Are they in
I'm already losing by so much.
Are we in the coalition? Dave is dead in the water. The house is going to attack the Dave.
The quick score update. In fourth spot, it's the house on one, the Dave on two.
Is that with the minuses?
That's with the minuses. Still what? Beating me.
Yeah.
Dave on three in second place, but out in front, it's Jess on 4 points.
Well done. Four color points.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mm-hmm. And now we're up to question number five. Only three questions to go, but it is anyone's game, although it's quickly getting out of my reach. This one comes from Laura from Canberra, who wrote the following question. What did Cher tweet on July the 13th, 2012? What did Cher tweet? I always find it hard to say her name. C-H-E-R. Is that Cher?
Yeah, people say Cher. People say it like Cher.
What did Cher
Her real name tweet? Is Sherilyn.
Oh, Cher.
I say Cher.
So that's
Cher.
How I remember it. Because you wouldn't say Sherilyn.
Unless her name Cher. Was Sherilyn.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
This okay. is the 4 point all over again. 4 point. Four pen. Fuck.
I think people understand what you mean. I generally say Cher.
Great. All right. So while you're writing your answers, here's some more info about the James Doohan D-Day story. The first Canadians reached Juno Beach at 7:35 a.m. and were cut down. After 2 hours... they had swept aside most of the Germans on their stretch of the beach. This comes from War History Online. Doohan led his men across the sands and got lucky. Despite the anti-tank mines beneath their feet, so they're arriving on the beach on D-Day. They're having a run over anti-tank mines, but luckily none of them went off as the men were not heavy enough to activate them.
Oh, thank God.
Whoa.
As they made their way to higher ground, Doohan managed to take out two German snipers. By noon, they had secured their positions. They could rest as well as deal with their dead and wounded. At about 11:20 that evening, Doohan finished a cigarette and patted the silver cigarette case he kept in his breast pocket. It had been given to him by his brother as a good luck charm, and a good thing too. Some 10 minutes later, he was walking back to his command post when he was shot 6 times. By a Bren gun. The first 4 bullets slammed into his leg, the 4th whacked him in the chest, while the 6th took off his right middle finger.
Oof.
It was not a German sniper, though. He had been shot by a nervous, trigger-happy Canadian sentry. Fortunately, the cigarette case stopped the bullet aimed at his chest. Doohan later joked that it was the only time being a smoker saved his life.
Whoa!
So if I saw a photo, he would hide his hand... in shots, it would try to, but there's a couple of shots where you can see his hand and it's missing the middle finger there.
Whoa.
He was very sort of casual about it all. And he's like, oh, you know, I didn't even realize I'd been shot in the legs until later. You know, I wasn't a hero or anything, you know, I wasn't being that tough or anything. He's like, I'm not sure if I actually got those snipers. But apparently, you know.
Wow.
So he's pretty humble about it all. I guess you also maybe would want to downplay killing people, I suppose. Even if they are Nazis.
Nazis.
Nazis. Care for a Nazi? Was that on this show? No.
No, that was Do Go On.
Do Go On. Very funny. English people say Nazis, and we thought that sounds like a bit of a
chocolate pastry biscuit or a chocolate brand. Biscuit.
Tea and a Nazi.
Open a pack of Nazis? Are you stopping me for long? I'll go grab some Nazis. All right. So your answers are in. Here's question number 5. What did Cher tweet on July the 13th, 2012? Porcupines are a bit of fun.
They are.
WTF is MDNA. I'm currently trapped in a lift. Send help and send candy. EXO, Cher. Lyrics to Turn Back Time.
Like she's Googling her.
Or I Want to Take Back What I Said. There is no life after love.
Okay.
So Cher tweeted one of these things, July 13th, 2012. Porcupines are a bit of fun. WTF is MDNA.
What's the second? NDNA?
MDNA. I'm currently trapped in a lift. Send help and send candy. XO, Cher. Lyrics to Turn Back Time. Or I Want to Take Back What I Said. There is no life after love. Is capitalized. Whose turn is it here?
Mine, I think.
What do you think?
I do rather enjoy the idea of Cher stuck in a lift. Although I assume, you know, she'd always have people around her. She'd have a team with her.
Yes, but maybe the whole team's trapped in lift and, you know, she's making fun of the situation or something.
I also love, it's so, you know, she might not understand Twitter, but you've got to specify what lift if you want people to come and help you.
Yeah, but then if she says what lift she's in on Twitter, then everybody's going to go, you know.
But it's also, you know, she's just having a bit of fun.
Maybe.
Sometimes people tweet things that aren't meant to be taken seriously.
Oh, no. Every tweet I've ever read I've taken very unironically and at its word.
Absolutely.
And that's, I believe, the intention of Twitter.
That's the way to live.
No, that's a good point.
I think Turn Back Time lyrics is pretty funny. Is that what it was?
Lyrics to Turn Back Time.
That's pretty funny. I think she knows, but.
And the last one?
I Want to Take Back What I Said. There is no life after love.
Do you believe in life after love?
Because
probably just a bit of a joke.
Yeah, but she says, do you believe, right? She doesn't say, I believe in life after love.
I always assumed that it was more rhetorical.
I kind of feel like she's saying, do you also believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me saying, I really don't think it's strong enough. I'm trying to figure out the words.
No.
I'm going to say lyrics to Turn Back Time.
Lyrics to Turn Back Time for Bop. What about you, Dave?
And what's the NDNA one?
WTF is MDNA.
What the fuck is, what does MDNA stand for?
Well, that's exactly what she's asking. Dave, you got to get on Twitter if you want to find these sort of answers.
Yeah. That sounds like a bizarre thing that it. Is there any emojis in there? Because
she does love a bit of an emoji.
Her emoji work is like off the charts, but maybe not 10 years ago.
None of these have emojis. The closest is XO, which is on the third option about being trapped in a lift.
Okay. I'm going to say WTF is MDNA, and hopefully you'll clear that up.
Okay, locking that in. All right, here's who wrote the answers. Porcupines are a bit of fun. That was the house.
That is funny.
I Want to Take Back What I Said. There is no life after love. That was Jess. Funnily enough, that was pretty similar to something that Laura had, and that's why I had to quickly delete it. And the first thing that came to my mind was porcupines are a bit of fun.
Oh, you do that on the fly. Yeah. That's why it was terrible.
Yep. Well, one of the reasons. Because sometimes I have a bit of time and they're still pretty bad. I'm currently trapped in a lift. Send help. That was Dave.
Yes.
Lyrics to Turn Back Time. That was the house. Huh? That one wasn't terrible. Oh, I'm sorry,
Jess.
Why are
you yelling at me?
Sorry, Jess.
Yeah, it was quite defensive on this episode. I think the Dave beating the house has really rocked Matt.
The house is really struggling.
Yeah, I've never seen them lose. Does the house ever come fourth before?
The house is made of straw, okay? It's being huffed and puffed. That means the correct answer is WTF is MDNA.
Yeah.
So 1 point to Dave there, 1 point to the house.
How many for the Dave?
The Dave gets 3 points.
Oh, no. I agree.
3 points to the house, are you sure?
Yes.
No, to the Dave.
To the Dave,
sorry, yes.
What the hell?
Sneaky fuck. You sneaky little fuck.
Well, if you
Don't point your finger at me, young man.
You nearly said yes.
That's enough. That's enough.
You've got to pay attention to this creep.
I don't have to do anything.
All right, so that means this.
It's great.
The score's now. The house on 2 points. Jess on 4 points. Dave on 4 points, but in the front again somehow. It's the Dave on 5 points. I don't know how the Dave got 3 points there, but you are really making an absolute mockery of this game, which is a very serious game, and I think very people serious, should really take it more seriously.
Mm-hmm. All right, Craig.
All right, so we're on to the second last question. Question number 6. This one comes from Harris Daver from Sloth Citadel.
What?
I don't know.
What is that?
I Googled it and I'm not sure. I couldn't figure out what it meant. But question 6 is, what happened in Seattle on September the 5th, 1928? What happened in Seattle on September the 5th, 1928? While you're writing those answers, here's some more info on Cher's tweet. Luckily, the Huffington Post reported on the incident. WTF is MDNA, Cher tweeted Friday morning. Thankfully, one of her Twitter followers was quick to respond. MDNA is Madonna's new album title, but also a spin on the party drug MDMA, aka ecstasy, to which Cher replied, how tasteful. But it didn't end there. After being asked whether or not she liked Madonna, Cher responded, I respect her ability. She's a genius. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough for Madonna fans, who continued to defend Queen Madge. Cher then tried to clarify things with this simple tweet. Didn't mean to throw shade on Madge. She's best at what she does. Called her bad word once. Not nice. Okay, didn't know MDNA. Shoot me. I live in a cave.
What? Send candy.
So, yeah, I think people, Madonna fans, took offense when she said how tasteful, maybe. I don't know. But then she's like, hey, I don't know what, don't get so offended.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I didn't know what MDNA meant. And then after the Madonna drama ceased, Cher promised to personally call Madge and straighten all of the Twitter hullabaloo out. Cher started to throw shade at her true target, GOP presidential hopeful Mitt Romney, tweeting, can I not get on here without dissing someone by accident? Really only ever wanted to throw shade on Mittens Robotney. Care? She tweeted.
Oh, my God, Cher.
What's going on?
Unfortunately, not everyone got the anti-Romney message when someone replied, did Cher just call Britney Robotney?
Oh, no.
And Cher replied, no, called Mittens Robotney, Care. Like to keep my insults straight, like asshole.
Oh, Care. Gotcha.
Like what?
How's it? How's
C-A-R-E?
Oh.
I don't care.
Why? I don't understand what it means. I don't understand.
What up, Care?
Yeah, I was confused by all that. But when she was trying to like go, no, I'm not calling Brittany Robotney. I'm calling Robotney. I'm calling Mittens Robotney. I'm like, what is that?
Confusing.
What is going on? Oxygen is running out in that lift, I think. Here's question number 6. What happened in Seattle on September the 5th, 1928? The KACL radio station is founded, the future home of the Dr. Fraser Crane Show. A horse stampede resulted in the cancellation of the Great Seattle Rodeo. Ironically, the only casualty was a donkey. A law passed prohibiting dance marathons. A demonstration of teleportation technology fooled the local newspapers, but it turned out it was a ruse by two identical twins. Or Seattle PD officer Martin Crane married Hester Crane. That's two Crane.
Two Fraser ones.
What was the last one?
Seattle PD officer Martin Crane married Hester Crane.
Okay. And that's a Fraser reference?
That's, it could be a coincidence, but Martin Crane, Fraser's dad, was a retired police officer.
Right. And he had an ugly chair.
He did have an ugly chair and a little Jack Russell.
But he loved that chair.
Gee,
I'll tell you what, Fraser didn't love that chair.
God, Fraser hated that chair. Didn't go with his whole aesthetic.
Mm.
He's not a good son.
Yeah. But until sort of right towards the end of the episode normally.
Yeah.
Then he sort of has a lot of moments where he realises, hang on, I'm getting a bit of clarity here.
They're a bit classist against their own dad.
Yeah.
Right. Does he also have a bit of a creepy vibe? He creeps me out a bit, that character.
Fraser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about him.
Bit pervy.
Right, okay, yeah. What about that dog?
Yeah.
Creepiest dog on TV.
Oh, yeah. He'll hump anyone's leg.
The fuck are you guys talking about? That dog's building orphanages. That's a good dog.
That is a good dog. Hey, but does that undo
No.
Some of his indiscretions?
No, absolutely not.
So, Dave, I think it's your crack here.
Can we have them one more time, please?
The KACL radio station is founded, the future home of the Dr. Fraser Crane Show. A horse stampede resulted in the cancellation of the Great Seattle Rodeo. Ironically, the only casualty was a donkey. A law was passed prohibiting dance marathons. A demonstration of teleportation technology fooled the local newspapers, but it turned out it was a ruse by two identical twins. Or Seattle PD officer Martin Crane married Hester Crane.
Okay, I'm tempted by horse rodeo or twin rodeo. Teleportation or horse, they're my two.
Oh, yep, yep. I would agree with you there.
And I'm going to go with teleportation because I think people were a lot easier to fool back in the day.
I'm going to go for the rodeo one.
Rodeo one for Bob.
Just, right, we've covered our bases.
Covered the spread. All right.
Well, there's two out of five. The Dave locks in all the others.
Yeah, what's the Dave doing?
Dave's got all the others.
All the others. Okay, so if the Dave's wrong, that's minus three. All right, so let's go through who answered.
You are so bitter.
Well, no, I just think that's fair. No, if he's going on the board.
Fair.
No, let's not forget. It's minus three, but then it's plus
no,
six.
No pluses.
Yeah, so he loses one, then
you're
pluses two.
You're such a sore loser. The KAC. Just lose to the Dave. Lose to a thing that doesn't exist.
I know people who listen to this show.
Are purists.
They need the competition to be pure. They can't have.
I don't think they
fake
do,
people.
Matt, this feels like a Matt projecting onto his audience.
This is a Matt problem.
No, this is feedback I've had in 15 episodes that they're like, "Hey, Matt, everything's going really great. Just make sure you keep it nice and pure." Hey, that's ridiculous.
The KACL radio station is founded, future home of the Dr. Fraser Crane Show. That was written by the House.
Oh,
yep. Saddle PD officer Martin Crane married Hester Crane. That was written by Jess.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was the other way around.
Then we had a horse stampede resulted in the cancellation of the Great Seattle Rodeo. That was Jess. Oh, that was Dave.
Dave. Yeah.
Dave did the old fool-a-roo
I'm
there.
Sorry, Jess, but I just needed the point real bad.
A demonstration of teleportation technology fooled local newspapers. That was the House.
No.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Meaning the correct answer was a law was passed prohibiting dance marathons.
Wow, that means the Dave gets a point.
Yeah. Well done, the Dave.
Well done to the Dave.
Woohoo!
When I was saying that, I thought I had you. I thought I had a negative three there. No, that's 1 point for the Dave.
1 point for the Dave, yes.
1 point for the House.
Wow, I really thought that the dance marathon, I was like, that's the House for sure.
So, quick score update. Going to the final round, we've got the House on three, Jess and Dave on four, but the Dave out in front on 6 points.
Wow, two in front of us.
Yeah. And this, you've done this. You did it to yourselves. It should be
I'm
one of you
for,
winning
I'm
this.
I'm happy for the Dave.
Me too.
The Dave's not a thing. What does it mean?
Jess and I hold up the Dave.
I love the Dave.
I'm hoping I can edit out all this talk of the Dave and the Dave never existed.
The Dave.
Final question, number seven.
If this episode goes for any less than 57 minutes, you've been cheated.
I'll edit that bit out as well.
Oh, damn it. 57 is the truth.
So up to question seven, the final question. It comes from Tess Matthews from Manchester in the UK. And the question is, we always finish with a film synopsis, or we usually do anyway. And this time we need the synopsis of the 2016 film Carousel. Carousel.
How do you spell that, please?
Carousel. Carousel.
Okay.
Carousel.
Like carousel, but it's Carousel?
Yeah.
What year was this again?
2016.
Oh, it's a modern one.
Exactly.
I'm bad at these.
All right. And while you're writing your answers down, here's a bit more information about dance marathons from historylink.org. And this is wild stuff. Cannot believe this. It feels like there's a do-go-on episode in this, I reckon. Dance marathons, an American phenomenon of the 20s and 30s, were human endurance contests in which couples danced almost nonstop for hundreds of hours. As long as a month or two, competing for prize money. 15 minutes each hour allotted for rest. When the air horn signaling a rest period sounded, the contestants exited the dance floor for curtained off rest areas filled with cots. These rest areas were segregated by sex. Contestants trained themselves to drop instantly into deep sleep as soon as their bodies touched the cots. After 11 minutes, the air horn sounded again, and the contestants filed back onto the dance floor to begin another hour. Female contestants who didn't wake at the end of the 11 minutes were revived with smelling salts and slaps. The male contestants were often dunked in a tub of ice water. Seattle passed an ordinance prohibiting dance marathons within city limits on September the 5th, 1928. This ordinance was prompted by the near death of a Seattle woman who had competed in a 19-day marathon held in the Seattle Armory.
Matt, may I please ask a question?
Of course.
Could you please read me the question about the movie again? In doing so, confirm the spelling, please.
What is the synopsis of the 2016 film Carousel?
Yep.
C-A-R-O-U-S.
Yep.
H-E-L-L.
Okay. And they're like a separate word?
I've got it. The H is capitalized.
Yeah, cool.
I think it is.
All right, great. I've done it. Thanks, Matt. Hey, Matt. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Jess.
Dave.
Hello.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, noted.
All right. The answers are in. Here is the final question. What is the synopsis of the 2016 film Carousel? Now, Jess and Dave, you're on equal points. It's anyone's game here.
Particularly the Dave.
Oh, well, the Dave.
Come on, Dave. The Dave's
in its own race. But I'm really focusing in on Jess v. Dave v. House.
What's the house again, sorry?
House on three, Dave's on four, Jess is on four. This is anyone's game.
And
here.
The Dave is on six.
The Dave is on six. All right. So here's the final question. What is the synopsis of the 2016 film Carousel? Teens in the sleepy town of Hobbs Hollow complain that there's never anything to do in their town. Then the Halloween carnival comes to town and a group of friends decide to ride the carousel, a decision they may not live to regret.
Oh.
Jim, a carnival worker, tempts people to ride the carousel after hours. Little do they know, it will be the last ride of their lives.
Oh.
Duke, a carousel unicorn, breaks free of his carnival hell and embarks on a bloody rampage of revenge on humanity.
Oh, my God.
A clown car crashes at a circus, killing 17 clowns. Their souls haunt a fairground with a merry-go-round at the center of the horror. Or Caro is in over her head. She's got bills to pay, and despite saying she never would, she's going to have to do the unthinkable. Take over her dad's close-up magic business. This is Caro's hell.
Can we have those again?
So you got teens in the sleepy town of Hobbs Hollow complain they never have anything to do, but then the Halloween carnival comes to town and they ride on the carousel, a decision they may not live to regret. And then we've got Jim, carnival worker, tempts people to ride the carousel after hours. Little do they know it'll be the last ride of their lives.
Oh, is that too little do they know?
Little do they know.
But is the first one little do they know as well?
No.
And a group of friends decided a decision. No, that doesn't have a
little. Okay. Good. That helped me.
Option three, Duke, a carousel unicorn, breaks free of his carnival hell and embarks on a bloody rampage of revenge on humanity.
That's pretty full on.
A clown car crashes at a circus killing 17 clowns. Their souls haunt a fairground with a merry-go-round at the center of the horror. Or Caro is in over her head. She's got bills to pay, and despite saying she never would, she's going to have to do the unthinkable, take over her dad's close-up magic business. This is Caro's hell.
That's very funny. It's tough, isn't it? Is it me?
I think so.
It could be. You've done three each now, so whoever's feeling it.
You go, Dave.
Let's talk it out together.
Okay, great. Can't wait.
Because we don't want the house to win.
And we do want the Dave to win.
The Dave, all right. Which one did you write? For me, the first time I heard Duke, I thought that was ridiculous. It's a funny one. But then I'm like, sometimes, like, we've had a movie on this show before. It was like a tire that went on a rampage.
That's killing right,
people. So
yeah.
There's some dumb movies out there.
That's true.
And they're usually the ones I pick.
Yeah. Yep. But then the first one, that seemed quite well written. Like a believable movie. What's
Hobbs Hollow.
Hobbs Hollow.
That's the sleepy town.
I don't know. What are you thinking?
I like it. Is a nice sounding sleepy town. Yeah, it sounds like a I don't know, teen horror kind of movie. But the second one's also no. Was the second one?
That's Jim, the carnival worker. Jim.
Yeah, that one sounds kind of
that could be believable.
Horror-ish as well.
Mm.
You got the killer unicorn.
Yeah.
Mm. Then the clown car crashing and then the close-up magic.
I don't think it's Caro's Hell, but it's very good.
I like it too.
I quite like clown cars. then they haunt.
Mm.
It's not bad.
They're all dumb.
Are you horror yeah. fans?
No, absolutely not.
In no way ever.
Right. Never.
I like them a little bit. I watched the preview of Carousel yesterday.
Oh, you've...
And...
So it is called Carousel.
Carousel. Sorry, Carousel.
Is that a giveaway there?
That was a bit no, of a giveaway.
He did just call it Carousel. Hell.
Wow. Oh, sorry. I just no, that was just me misspeaking.
Okay.
Carousel.
Does it look like something you'd enjoy?
It was very silly. I mean, all of these are pretty silly, but it was, yeah. It was fun. It was a bit of fun.
I'm going to lock in Duke the Unicorn.
Okay. I'm going to lock in Clown Car.
Clown Car for Jess. And what is together, I guess you got to lock in the Dave.
The other three?
Yeah.
The other three for Dave. So he gets -2 points, everyone who gets wrong. All right, let's go through who wrote.
-1 for each one who gets wrong. Unless he gets it right.
You've been giving him 3 points, 2 points on a whim.
And you're taking him away on a whim.
I've only taken 2 points off him.
All right, can we take 2 points off the house for this?
No.
Yeah, 2 points from the house.
-2.
All right, let's go through the answers. Oh, God. And you've locked him in. You're happy?
Yep. I'm Duke and Clown Car and the other three for the Dave.
So the Hobbs Hollow Sleepy Town, that was Jess.
Oh, it's good. Well done. Yeah. When I said very well written, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I assumed that you'd done Caro's Hell because you asked how Caro's Hell is spelled.
It was because I wasn't listening when Matt first started the question.
Well, no, Hobbs, brilliant.
Hobbs Hollow.
I think that's one of your great trademarks, Jess, for this round is you'll put in a great either a great character name or a place name.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoy them very much.
Hobbs Hollow.
Hobbs Hollow.
Hobbs Hollow.
Fantastic. Or a job. I remember one episode you said, a dentist.
Yeah.
Gary Pacemaker, a dentist. A dentist.
I cracked up at that.
Then we had Jim, the carnival worker, tempts people to ride the carousel after hours. Mm. That was the house.
Ooh.
That one was written by Tess Matthews.
Closing in here.
Then we had Caro isn't in over her head. Ends up having to do close-up magic. That is the howl.
Great work. That's very funny.
Clown Car. This is what Jess picked. That was Dave. So a point to Dave there, meaning that Dave is also correct. Duke, a carousel unicorn, breaks free of his carnival hell and embarks on a bloody rampage of revenge on humanity. I think I realized as I was saying, I watched the preview, that I probably gave a bit more than I should have there. And that's what made you think, because I said it was a bit of silly fun.
You said it was a bit, but then they all sound yeah, silly that's what, fun, yeah. don't they?
I tried to. Got to talk less.
As the host of the show, you really should say
you
less.
You should talk less.
So that's 2 points to Dave, -3 to the Dave.
God, fuck. You're such a sore loser.
No, this is good.
Nah, this is good.
So the final scores are the house, 3 points. The Dave also on 3 points. Jess in second place on 4 points, but out in front it's Dave on 6 points.
Thanks, everyone. I'd like to donate all 6 points to the Dave,
yes!
taking him to a total of 9 points.
Yes, the Dave!
The Dave did it! Woo! The Dave did it! 9 points! Is that the highest score ever?
No, but it is annoyingly high for someone who doesn't exist.
If anyone's keeping the spreadsheet at home, please mark down the Dave as 9 and myself as 0.
I would also like to donate my points to the Dave.
Wow.
Wow, I've bumped up to second spot. Go the house.
Go the house. Well, the Dave's still on 13 now. Absolutely smashed the house.
Yes.
Well done, the Dave.
Well done, the Dave.
I'm just writing a new rule into my rule spreadsheet. Oh, no. Fake character points have to go to the house. Oh, no. I get all of the points.
Okay. Well,
not following that, but look on your face.
From next week on, it's fine, but this week, the Dave absolutely reigns.
I'm so happy for the Dave.
Me too.
Well done, the Dave.
Oh, now he's on team.
No, honestly, well, it was a bit of fun. I thought I was building up a bit of the house versus the Dave thing, but in the end, I love the Dave.
You were just being a straight-up villain everybody hates you.
Loves the Dave.
Everyone loves
you.
The Dave and we're mad at you.
I'm picturing the Dave as being like a little ventriloquist dummy.
The Dave.
I'm the Dave.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
So I could only find 2 critic reviews of the movie on Rotten Tomatoes, but they are both positive.
Really? It's pretty recent too, isn't it? 2016?
2016, and I'm like, is it animated or what? But it looks like they've just used camera tricks to sort of, it's just like someone's holding a carousel unicorn off screen, sort of bouncing around. So it's very low budget. And then it somehow is putting axes into people's heads. And,
sure.
That's the best.
I feel like I could almost watch it. But I mean, the preview was probably enough. All right. So here's a couple of the quick points from the scripts. Norman Gidney from Horror Buzz wrote the script by Rudzinski and co-writer Elaine Isley is broad, surreal, and ludicrously silly. And Felix Vasquez Jr. from Cinema Craze said, a fun and funny horror comedy that thrives on originality. The only quote from the film that was on IMDb was, you have to be this tall to die.
Oh, that's awesome.
That bit of fun. Yeah, so final score check. So you're giving all your points to the Dave.
So Dave, the Dave's on 13.
Okay. So we've got in equal third, we've got Jess on no points and Dave on no points. Yeah. And in second place, we've got the house on 3 points, but way on front, it's the Dave on 13 points.
13 points. That's got to be the highest score ever.
The Dave.
Now that they've been placated, the real winner was just normal Dave on 6 points. Listen, it's okay.
Fucking Dave.
Now, where can people find you
too? They can find me, bloody shoving your head in a toilet. That's where they can find me.
No,
so just go look at a toilet. I'm probably there shoving Matt's head in. But no, you can listen to the Do Go On podcast and also Simply the Jest. You can find me at Jess Perkins on Instagram.
And at the Melbourne Comedy Festival coming up in March?
Yep. Yeah.
What's your show?
Well, look.
Oh, just look up Jess Perkins in the guide. You'll find her. And Dave, what about you?
Hey, you can find me on Do Go On as well, but also the Book Cheat podcast. And I'm doing a show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival and Adelaide Fringe Festival, possibly more places to be confirmed. A show called Even Hotter in Real Life.
It's good. It's very good.
Thank you.
Because he is, you see.
Yeah.
Exactly. You got to see this to believe
it's true.
Not to objectify him, but Dave, in photos. Yuck.
Exactly. Pics just won't do this guy justice.
No, but
not photogenic.
But IRL?
IRL.
Oh, my goodness.
Super hunk.
Bonus city.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said that, Dave.
And you can see me. I'm in Adelaide before or after you, Dave.
No one asked. So.
But, I mean, they might as well see you as well.
My show's called Ding, and it's also at the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the Chinese Museum. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. As we are a new show, it'd be great if you could help get the word out there. Please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy it. Cheers for tuning in to Who Knew with Matt Stewart. And now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye.
The Dave!
The Dave! Woo!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.